tonight. John chapter 6, let's start in verse number 53. John 6, 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, and even he shall live by me. That is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Here's what I want you to notice. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What? And if ye see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray. Father, bless us now in these few minutes we have as we share this thought. And really, it's a warning for all of us to just be very, very careful in our Christian life so we can stay close to you all the days of our life. That we can be like Paul when we come into our life and say, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In this chapter here, Jesus is giving his discourse on the bread of life. He's talking to the crowd. He is truthful and pointed. And when people are truthful and pointed, that will always cause problems. The truth, people don't care too much for the truth, especially when it goes against a belief they have held that is false. Because of that, some walk away from him. It reminds me of what Paul said in Galatians to the Galatian church, Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Because he told him the truth, some of the people there didn't like it. And by the way, the only option we have if we're not going to tell the truth is either to tell a lie or to skirt the truth. And skirting the truth helps nobody. So we see in this chapter, many of them, they did not like it. Many of these had their own religion, or they had some thoughts that there was some that did not believe in him, and they had their own belief system, but they were following him because of the crowds. There were some who were his disciples and followed him, but when he was a little pointed, they didn't really buy into it. So some left. They will not follow him anymore. And some that were following just said, we've had enough. This is a little bit too tough for us. If you go through the Bible, that is not new. There are examples in the Bible of people who are followers of God, and because of whatever reason, they step back from following God. They followed him no more. That happens. If you are in church at any amount of time, that happens sometimes to people. They come into church and they start following God and God works in their life and things happen over the course of time. They're not careful and they don't watch it and they step away and they walk away from God. And that is sad. By the way, say before we start thinking of others, because we like that. We like messages where you can hear something and say, that's for so-and-so. No, the message is for you and the message is for me, okay? We're not here for you to give you ammunition to hit someone else over the head. We're here to give you ammunition to hit yourself over the head, okay? And that's what we must realize. We are all flesh, and it can happen to us. Think about Peter. Turn over to Matthew chapter 26 real quick. Matthew chapter 26. It happened to the best of the people. If it can happen to the best of people, it can happen to us, and so we need to be very careful. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31 will start. Many of us were familiar with this verse. Verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered about. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. He's telling them of his pending, he's going to be arrested. He's telling them that's coming, and what's coming. He's going to be killed. He's going to rise again. He's telling them what to do. Verse 33, Peter. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all of his disciples. See, that's Peter. Hey, you guys are going to take off on me. I'm going to be killed and raised the third day, and I'm giving you instructions how to come back. Peter's like, hey, not me. Jesus, no, you're talking about the other guys. I won't do that. If I have to die for you, I'm in. We all know what happened. Mark chapter 15, 14 and verse 50, it says, and they all forsook him and fled. And then we know later, Peter, at least he followed Jesus afar off. That's not the best plan. And then when he was found out by others, he did exactly what Jesus said was happened. He denied him three times. What am I trying to say tonight? We must all be on the lookout to make sure we stay close to God. That's just how life is. Life, we enter into things of life and we think that, you know, we're different and bad things aren't going to happen to us. Nobody enters into a marriage with the idea that one day their marriage is going to fall apart or dissolve. Nobody enters a marriage with that. But yet if we're not careful, it can happen. And then we come to Christ and we start serving him, and I'm never going to leave him. Man, I am so excited. Things can change throughout the years if we are not careful. Tonight I want us to notice a few thoughts in the short time we have from the story. I want to point out to you why some people leave, why if we ever leave him, it would happen. I want to point out a few reasons why we shouldn't leave, and then I want to give you a couple of thoughts on how to assure that you never do leave him. First of all, I want us to look at why some people leave. It almost always goes back to what he says. In one way or another, it's going to. Because you see, if you are a Christian and you are seeking to get close to God, it's going to change your life. It has to. His word goes so much against the grain of what we naturally would do, we only have one or two options. We're either going to obey it or we're going to disobey. That's just how it is. And so when people leave, it always is going to come back to leave God. It always comes back to they've come to a point in their life through whatever, a series of events where they just want to kind of do their own thing and they want to get away from what God is saying. Why do some people leave? Well, some people just can't receive. Verse 6, he said, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Why is it hard? Because it went against the conventional wisdom of the day. It went against their religion. It went against everything they grew up with. And they said it's very, very hard. The same reason why people can't receive the truth today. It's hard to receive. It goes against our nature. It goes against who we are. By the way, the second you quit wanting to hear truth or something that's new, you quit growing as an individual. How many of you would say, honestly, I have the answers to everything? That's usually a teenager, right? Okay, they know everything, and then they become adults and have their own children, and they realize they didn't know as much as they thought they knew. Listen, if we don't know everything, and we live in this sinful flesh, could it be that we're going to hear things sometimes from God's word that go against our life? By the way, that's not condemning. That's not condemning. See, people will come sometimes and say, well, I heard something today, and that's going against what you're condemning. No one's condemning. It's just, we're telling you what the Bible says. If I tell my children, don't cross the street, well, I don't have to tell them now. Most of them are adults, okay? They can cross the streets themselves. Call a couple of them I am concerned about. But I tell them, hey, you're not crossing the street by yourself. I don't want them to get hurt. They don't look both ways. They don't pay attention. And the truth is, there's cars that barrel down the street that could run over them. And that's the truth. But what we do is we don't like to hear it. People have an aversion to the truth. By the way, you sometimes, I'm sure you hear something I say, I don't like that. You know, I don't like it either. If it's from the Bible, it sometimes just goes against my flesh, but it's like, but it's right. And whether I like it or not, I kind of just got to pony up to it. We've looked on Thursday nights over the last several months in our look at the church at some of the truth that people don't like that they portray as controversial. Why is something controversial just because it's stating an opinion or a truth? I mean, controversial used to be things that were hurtful for other people. But to stand up and say, listen, this is just the truth here. That's not hurtful. Why is that controversial? That's it. People don't want to hear it. We can't receive it. We have shut ourselves out from any other possibility that there could be something that I believe that's wrong, therefore, I don't want to hear it. It's like the story, there was some scientists, and it was a debate, an evolutionist and a creationist, and the scientists got up and said, you know, there is no scientist who believes in creation. His opponent got up and said, let me list them for you. And the guy came back and said this. He goes, well, if a scientist believes that there's a creator, I don't believe him to be a true scientist. How do you win that argument? What is that? That's shutting out the truth. We don't want to hear it. Some people just can't receive it. Let's not get to the point where we don't want to hear the truth. Let's not get to the point where we don't want to hear something that could be that could go against our grain, because it's always going to go against our grain. Some just can't receive it. Some just quit listening. He said, this is a hard truth. Who can hear it? We get to the point where we just don't want to hear the truth anymore. That's a bad place to be at. Because God's word is truth. And if we get to the point where we don't want to hear the truth, we're never going to crack this book open, because this book is full of truth. That's a danger. The danger is when we ignore it, we'll get to the place where we eventually quit listening. Listen to this verse in Proverbs. This is, and God's not trying to scare us, but God is straight forth with us. God tells us the truth. In Proverbs 29, verse 1, he says, he that being oft reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He says, when you're hearing the truth and you quit listening to it, and eventually it's like you harden your neck, like you get to the point, I don't want to hear it anymore. God said, you're in for trouble. Because it's the truth that keeps us from trouble. It doesn't get us into trouble. If you follow the truth, that's not going to lead you down a path that's going to lead you somewhere that's going to hurt you. It's going to lead you somewhere where you're going to be helped. The bad path is to say, I don't want to hear it anymore, and we harden ourselves to it. Some quit listening. Why else do we leave? Some start complaining. Verse 31, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? I mean, they weren't even hiding it. I mean, they're over here like, did you just hear what Jesus said? Where is he coming from? What is that all about? And then we start complaining in our heart. See, then we take the wrong view of God. You ever see some people, they think God is a taskmaster. God's not a taskmaster. Fact of the matter is, God wants the good life for you. God wants the joyful path for you. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let me just tell you this. If God's telling us he wants us to rejoice all the time, what it means is, if we follow his word, we can rejoice all the time. You talk to some people, it's like, you ever witnessed somebody, man, you know, you talk to them about heaven or hell, and, oh man, hell's on this earth. What kind of life is that? Your life is so, by the way, hell is not on this earth, okay? Those of you that are married, hell is not on this earth, all right? Hell is a horrible place. But to think that their life is so miserable that they would say that, you know what I'd say? Man, you're missing it. There is something way better out there. We start to complain. You know, God's just trying. And by the way, sometimes if we're not careful, we portray the Christian life like that. It's always difficult. And there are difficulties, by the way. And it is tough. You got to man up and do it. But you know what? The reward is so much greater. We complain. You know, God's holding out on me. You know, there's somebody that they didn't like the song. One of the famous pastor, I forget which one it was. You know, it's like, it will be worth it all. You know, how many of you know that song? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. So I have to wait till I die? So it's not worth it until I die. No, it's worth it. And I understand what the song is saying. Don't get me wrong. Do we sing that here? Brother Mahir, do we sing that song? Yeah. Because you're a complainer. Listen, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. But can I just tell you something? It's worth it now. By the way, don't listen to complainers. How many of you, let's really be honest, how many of you have a tendency to be a complainer? I'm going to put my hand way, way, way up there. I can see the negative in anything. Anything. When I used to coach our sports teams, we'd be up by 30 and 40 points, and I'd be ripping their face. Like, I know we're up by 30, but that was a bad pass. It's like, brother, well, can we please you here? That's how we are sometimes. Because we're not focusing on all the good. But listen, sometimes people, you know, well, I've heard about that church or I've heard about those Christians. Don't listen to that. You're listening to somebody that's is that how you want to be? Let's listen to what God says. We start complaining. Some get offended. When Jesus knew himself, the disciples remembers, he said, does this offend you? He could see their spirit. Hey, you're bothered by this. Listen, if you tell me something I don't agree with, that's not going to offend me. You have a right to believe what you want. Why? Look, if we get up and say the Bible, God says this, why are we going to get offended at it? You know why? Because it bothers us. And just, if you don't agree with it, you don't agree with it. Listen, I think Fords are the worst car ever made. Okay? By the way, if you buy a Ford, you need to have AAA. Seriously. I'm going to preach the Bible whether you like it or not. Just kidding. Okay? Listen, we own some Chevys. Great cars. Great cars. Okay? So if you don't have a Chevy, if you come up and say, I think Chevys are of the devil, that's okay. I'm not going to get offended. You're wrong. And by the way, if you own a Ford, I still love you. And you know what? Call me when you need a ride. We get offended about all these weird little things. Listen, if it's the truth, it's the truth. You know what the Bible says? When I was in Bible college, I lived on the third floor dorm. And it overlooked they had a big field out there. They had a football field. And they would have intramural football. Well, I worked third shift. So I'd go to college, and then I'd get out of college, and I'd sleep about 5 or 6 hours, and I'd go off to work third shift. But they played football right outside my door, outside the window. So I could hear every time before the game, the sports director would get the two teams together, and they would repeat this verse as loud as they could. He'd have them chant it every single game. Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And then they'd go out there and beat each other up and get mad anyhow. You know, I'd hear my, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Okay? Listen, if we love God's word, we're not going to get offended. You say, well, so-and-so did something to me. Hey, get in line. They've done it to all of us. Well, you've done, get in line. We're not perfect, and sometimes that's why you hash it out. Here's a little, this is a free. You just throw this in, it's nothing, but it's good. If somebody has a problem with somebody and they're going to somebody else to complain about it, they're wrong. I didn't go over way well. Thanks, Charles. They're wrong. If I have a problem with Joseph and I come to try to talk to him about it, I'm wrong. Because it's none of his business. Why do you ask? You know what I need to do? If I'm a Christian, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to go talk to him about it. I'm not supposed to go run to somebody else. That's like, you know, you get mad at your wife and you're going to run and talk to your mom about her. Now your mom hates her. Okay, listen, your mom can't, and mommy's going to pat you in the back. My little boy, do you need your diaper change? Everything's good. Some get offended. So that's why some people leave. We got to hurry. Let me tell you why we shouldn't leave. Let me tell me some reasons why we shouldn't leave. Others are usually wrong. You see, so many people left, it's almost like you see this crowd leaving. Jesus turns to his core guys, his 12, and says, hey, are you guys leaving too? And Peter steps up. Now, I'll give Peter was always stepping up. He's also stepping on his own toe too. But Peter just stepped up. I like what Peter says. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? He says, you know what? I'm not following that crowd. There was a whole bunch of them leaving. He could have left with them, and he could have said, I'll go with these folks over here. But you know what he said? He goes, where are we going to go? Why? Because others are usually wrong. If someone gets away from God, don't let them influence you for the negative. Okay? And by the way, there's just things going on we don't know about. Let's follow what God says. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Sometimes people will get away from God. My life is so much better now. Since I left Jesus, everything's good. I don't know about you. I got saved in Easter Sunday, 1978. And by the way, God was convicting me of my sin, and I knew I was on my way to hell. And I got saved. Man, I felt so good. And I knew I was saved. But I didn't start serving God. And can I just tell you something? Things didn't get better. Things were even worse. All the nonsense I used to do before I was a Christian, I got away with it. It's like now I got caught all the time. And it was just like problem after problem after problem. You know what that was? God said, now you're my child. You ain't getting away with it now. And you know what he was doing? He was bringing me back. And that's what happens. Look, if someone can get away from God and say, you know, the best thing I ever did was leave Jesus, I doubt if they ever knew him. I heard about a guy, he used to be years, many, many years ago. He was an evangelist, and now he's an atheist. Can I just tell you something? He never knew God in the first place. See, there's a difference to say, you know, I know Brother Beck, and then we have a disagreement, I don't want to have anything to do with him anymore. But I would never say, if we had a disagreement, you know what? I used to know Brother Beck, but now I don't even think he exists anymore. He's a myth. You understand the difference? How can you say you know God and then say, well, he doesn't exist now? Well, you never knew him. Because if you knew him, you would know he exists. So don't listen to that stuff. Also, you need to understand this, why we shouldn't leave. God's word is still true. Peter said, Lord, to who shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Just because we walk away from God doesn't make his word not true anymore. It's still true. It's true whether you believe it or not. It's true whether I believe it or not. Why don't we just put our faith in his word and trust him? His word is true. Peter's like, listen, and I'm sure his disciples are sitting there like, the crowd is leaving. I mean, they're probably like, man, this is great. Look at the crowd. We're having a great church service. And everybody starts walking out. Next thing you know, Jesus turns around. It's like 12 guys say, hey, you guys leaving too? They're like, man, you kind of like scattered the crowd. But you know what he said? But what you said is absolutely true. You have the words of life. I'd rather have three people here and hear the truth than have a million people here and hear a lie. Because lies don't help. Truth is the only thing that's helpful. And you know where his truth is? It's in that word right there. And if Jesus says it, I just have a propensity to believe it. I want to follow it. I want to try to do what he's telling me to do. But we get so caught up in lies. By the way, be very careful. We preached a whole message on this, who you allow to influence you. Everything you're going to hear on the radio is pretty much, not everything, but you're going to hear stuff that just, I heard this guy talk on the radio, and it sounds good. His personal experience says this. Well, let me ask you a question. Does it go by what God's word says? Because if God says it, I don't care what so-and-so says. And we're so influenced by people that do these little things. I think I'll just stick with God. His word is still true. And I would encourage us, let's still have faith. Peter said in verse 69, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. He goes, you know, we still have faith. By the way, I'm sure it was pretty rough for them too. But they're like, you know what though? We have faith. We still believe, and we're not going to be pushed off of what we believe. What fights against our faith? We need to have faith despite how we feel. You know, sometimes our feelings get the best of us. You know, everything's going good, and all of a sudden, you just have one of those days, and your feelings are telling you, you know, you're tired or this or that, and your feelings are saying all kinds of off-the-wall stuff. It's at that point you say, you know what, feelings, be quiet. I'm going to follow the truth. People do all kinds of things under the guise of their feelings. Feelings. We have to do what's right despite what we see. We have to do what's right despite what we hear being said. And then another reason we really shouldn't leave is because Jesus is still worthy. He said, we're sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We spent much time talking about that this morning. Listen, don't constantly put Jesus on trial in your life. If you have trusted him and made him your Savior, go all in. We're wishy-washy. As long as everything is going good, I'm in with Jesus. But as soon as we hit a bump in the road, it's like, well, let me rethink this thing. By the way, you do that in your marriage too. Well, you're having a little rough spot in this marriage. You know, after all, I probably shouldn't have married her in the first place. How do I know she was the right one for me? Here's how you know. Does she have a ring on? And did you give her the ring? She's the right one. But I'm not sure about it. I should have married. You didn't marry so-and-so. You said I do to her. She's the right one. But I just don't. She's the right one. By the way, this is not marriage counseling 101, but let's just throw this out there. You know the reason most people want to get a divorce? It's not that they don't necessarily want the one. They want someone else. It's like, hey, the grass is green on the other side of the fence. Really? You still have to throw manure on that thing. I'm not saying you have to throw manure on her. I'm not saying that. You know, if there's green grass on the other side of the fence, you know why the grass is green? It's because someone's working it. And you won't work it, so you'll be right back where you were before. Why don't you just work the field you're in? All right, we'll go back to the Bible here. But we do the same thing with Jesus. He's on trial. I'm having a problem in my life. Man, it's not worth serving him anymore. You should have settled that a long time ago. Jesus is. Now, let me give you a couple things. What should we do? Don't let others decide if you serve God. Don't let others decide. Don't, you know, always like, what am I going to do today? You know, I don't respect politicians. I'll tell you why. Whatever is popular, whatever it is, that's what they get up and say. By the way, I don't respect our media anymore. I don't. There's things that they believe, I know they believe, but they won't say it because you got to follow the sheep or else you're going to be bashed over the head with a stick. Bash me with a stick. I'm not going to just follow what everybody says. I'm going to follow what he says. Now, if what he says matches up with what they're doing, okay, great. But if it goes against the crowd, it's the truth. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. I got to follow what he says. And a politician will not get up and tell you what, you know, come on. Everybody that's running for office, they're going to make the school system better. What else do they always do? It's the same things they do. We're going to hire more police officers, and we're going to make the schools better. They can't even get the lunch program right. I'm not even going to say it because I don't want to be critical. But, man, you know, the food is food, but the stuff they used to feed us when I was a kid wasn't bad. They can't even get the lunches right. They, you know, come on, Obama, everyone's got to sign up. The website kept crashing. We're on the website for like 20 hours, and we called the lady, and she's like, yeah, the best time to get on the website is 1 in the morning. 1 in the morning? I want to get on the website at 1 in the morning. Anyhow, what are we talking about here? I forgot. Yeah, don't let others decide. Yeah, I saw that. I'm seeing the lunch in my mind, and I'm getting sick to my stomach. But we're just But we get up, well, you know, I think everybody wants to hear this, so I'll say this. By the way, they're not fixing the schools. The schools are getting worse. And every politician's going to fix it, but they just say the things that you want to hear. I'd like a politician just to get up and say, you know, here's kind of what I believe. If you like it, vote for me. If you don't vote for me. That's how it works, right? Okay. We're not talking about politics. I'm just saying, what do we believe? Let's not change it just because you hear somebody say something. Let's just stick with what the Bible says. Next, don't trust the flesh. Don't trust the flesh. He says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. When I get in trouble, when you get in trouble, how many times is it because we follow the flesh? Something comes up and the flesh says, do this! Now, he doesn't yell at you. He just kind of like pushes you that direction. It's like, yeah! It's like the spirit says, hey, calm down. Oh, I'm already in. You know? You're going Christmas shopping and someone cuts in front of you a line. What does the flesh say? No, the spirit says, hey, maybe they're in a hurry. The flesh says, we'll deal with this. Okay? You know, someone do that. Ah, they're mean to me. I'll be mean to them. Oh, the Bible. I mean, I'm not going to say that. I don't want to be like, I want to be mean to them too. Okay? The Bible kind of tells us to be nice to them. Man, the Bible always messes us up. But we always follow the flesh. By the way, that's why I'm like you. You read some of this stuff. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I'm not in. Long-suffering? What, you patience? I mean, I'll have patience if you give it to me now. Do I have to wait for it? Man, we get mad if there's four cars in the drive-thru at Taco Bell. It's like, you're kidding me. Long-suffering? Let someone irritate you over a long period of time? No. Can I just tell you something? That's the flesh. You say, well, Brother Myers, you ever give into the flesh? It's none of your business. Yeah, there's been occasion where I have. You know, sometimes the horn of my car doesn't work. I'm telling you. The other day, I was parked over here. You know, you park on Wardlow. And sometimes the cars mistake you for being in the lane there. And they kind of, and I'm parked at Wardlow. I'm going to take off. And this lady is behind me. And then she cuts around me and she's honking at me. I'm like, I'm going to honk back at her. But then I thought, wait a minute. I'm a block away from the church. What if she looks at me and visits church and like, aha! Okay, I did honk at a guy going up to Big Bear. I got to confess that right off the bat. He cut around me, and he was all mad and everything, and I just let him go, and I didn't say anything. And then about 5 miles ahead, he was in a turn lane. It's like all that hassle, and we got here at the same time. So I just waved at him, honk, honk, have a good day. My wife made me do it. But that's the flesh. So I don't even know if this is biblical, but I heard someone say this. I don't even know if it's Bible. It sounds good. It says, if you want to know what to do, do the opposite of the first thought that comes to your mind. Right? That person cut me. I want to honk at him. Don't honk at him. All right, moving on quickly. Don't follow the flesh. Next, do the math yourself. In other words, figure out. Don't be influenced by all the nonsense. Stop and think about what God is saying and figure it out yourself. See, Peter had all these outside influences. Hey, are you leaving too? Everybody's leaving. They're all upset. Man, you were really hard tonight, Jesus. What's all that about? And Peter's like, wait a minute. You do have the words of life. I'm positive you're the Savior, and I still believe in you. Yep, that adds up. I'm going forward. Do the math. And then the last thing is this. Don't just be saved. What I mean by that, don't just settle for being a Christian. Well, by the way, the moment you became a Christian, whatever moment it was, whatever day it was, that was not the end. When I got saved on Easter Sunday, I didn't say, wow, got it settled. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm done. No. God said, no, son, that's the beginning. Now you're in my family. Now I want to have a relationship, and now I have something better for you. Now, I'm a knucklehead. It took me 2 years to get there, okay? Many tribulations. I got out of school early. They didn't want me there, and I didn't want to be there, so I left. But I'm like, 2 years I wasted, but once I got in, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm a little dense, but I got it. You wanted me. And I found out something. He had something a lot better than just being saved. It affected my life down here. I didn't have to wait till I get, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. No. It's worth it now. Hey, if you're a new Christian, let me encourage you. Go forward. You see, babies are irritating. Now, I have four grandchildren. The older they get, actually, the better they get. But four grandchildren. We got two new ones. September I think she was born September 3rd or 2nd. The little one, I forget her name, Ellie. You know, I forget her name. Then Jason was born on November 10th. Thanks for giving me a grandson. I appreciate that. I love those kids. But you know what? Man, they can be, they smell funny. They do. Oh, you're so sweet. They got spit up breath. You know, cottage cheese on the side of their mouth and all that nonsense. And don't even look in their diaper. Mess. But you know, the older they get, the more mature they get. The more they get it. You see, if we stay as a baby Christian, we're kind of staying in that little goofy stage, and it's easier for us to get offended. Okay? A lot of stuff I didn't understand as a new Christian, but as I was going forward, I started to get it. I didn't let it choke me. I'm like, I'm sticking around here, and I'll get it eventually. And the more I read my Bible, the more I learned from church, I'm like, I'm getting it here. I'm growing. Listen, there's a reason the Christian life is the best life. And I encourage you, don't just be satisfied with being saved. Go forward and get as close to God as you possibly can. Because it gets better. It's like marriage. I won't say this with my fingers crossed. The longer you're married, the more years you've been married. What I meant to say by that was, the better it gets. At least that's what I've been told. You say, that's not my experience, because you're not growing. The longer you're a Christian, the better it ought to be. The better it ought to be. Say, man, I love Jesus more today than I loved him before. You know why? You've been with him longer. You know him better. And you've seen him do things in your life. And the more you've seen, the better it is. Listen, what's the thing tonight? Let's all be cautious. Because all of us can walk away from God. And let me just say this. Over the years in the church, I know many people that have left God, sometimes some for good, some for short periods of time. But the ones that are really saved, they know it. And God deals in their life. And they come back. Hopefully they come back. You know, they'll come to church. I've met some, you know, they got away from God. Hey, man, I used to come here a long time. How's everything going? It's like, man, I need to get back to church. Why? Because God still loves them. By the way, and what about in our life when we do those dumb things? We get down like, man, I can't believe I did. God's like, you know, I still love you. Let's just snap out of it. That's why we confess our sin. Let's go forward. But let's make it our goal to be long-term Christians, to serve God long-term. Yeah, there's some ups and downs, but it's the thing to do. Let's stand tonight.